We began a Bible study last time through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And 1 Kings chapter 1, it opens with King David as an old man, nearing the end of his life, and the question on everyone's mind was, who will be the next king? David's oldest living son, Adonijah, tried to appoint himself the new king. He ran a campaign among the people proclaiming his merits to be king. He gathered some notable supporters around him, and he was in the middle of throwing a big splashy ceremony to have himself anointed king and inaugurate his rule when things unexpectedly began to unravel for him. King David got word of what Adonijah was doing. He quickly gave orders to have his son Solomon anointed and proclaimed as king, and all of Adonijah's plans quickly came to a halt, and his supporters deserted him. Solomon was the one the Lord had chosen to succeed David as king. Adonijah knew that, but he was determined to have his own way instead. And his story illustrates the truth of Proverbs 16:18 and Matthew 23:12, which say, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. With Solomon now the newly appointed king, chapter 2 continues the story. So if you have your Bible, you can make your way over to 1 Kings chapter 2. Is the sound system okay? Everybody able to hear me okay? All right. And verse 1, it reads, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. You may remember from last time that David's health is beginning to fail. He's pictured in chapter 1 as a frail old man needing a personal caregiver to watch over and to care for him. And now chapter 2 begins with the words, when the time drew near for David to die. David is on his deathbed. We're witnessing his final moments before passing from this life. He calls his son Solomon in to give him his final words of encouragement and instructions before he dies. Now, if you and I were on our deathbed right now, facing the very soon end of our life here, what would our final words of encouragement and instructions be to our family and friends? What would we want to be the last things anyone ever heard us say to them? What would we want them to carry with them for the rest of their lives from us? It's a question we should think more about than we do. And in a sense, we should live every day of our life as if it were our last day. Why would we not speak those important last words now rather than save them for later? We may not have that opportunity later, right? Charles Hodge said, it's important that when we come to die, we have nothing to do but die. In other words, we should take care to do all of the important things now, rather than wait until our last moments. We are not guaranteed to know when our last moments will be. Our life could be taken from us unexpectedly in a New York minute. Verse 2 says, I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. These final words David speaks to Solomon, they capture the essence of David's heart. The Lord himself said that David was a man after his own heart. And we see that here. The very first thing David addresses with Solomon has to do with his spiritual life, his relationship with the Lord. If this part of Solomon's life is right, everything else will fall into place. And the same is true for us. If our relationship with the Lord is right, then everything else will fall into place. This needs to be the foundation upon which our life is built and lived. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about the wise and the foolish builders in Matthew 7? Jesus said this in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Who's the wise person? It's the one who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice. And the ones who will really listen to Jesus and put his words into practice are those who love him. Let us make our relationship with the Lord of first importance. Make it the foundation that our life is built on. The rest will follow. David begins with these words, "I am about to go the way of all the earth." Death is a common fate for all of us. Death is a great equalizer. It comes for all, regardless of economic status, race, creed, gender. It doesn't discriminate in any way. David knows this. He's about to go the way of all the earth. Mortality is a part of the experience of this planet for all biological life forms, and that means you and me included. There's a resignation and a peace present in David's countenance, though, that we want to notice here. He knows who he has entrusted himself to. He has put himself into the hands of the Lord. He knows he will soon be face to face with the one who loves him beyond words. And this gives him peace in the midst of the greatest darkness a person will face in this life. David's own words come to mind from Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Paul's last written words also come to mind for us. 2 Timothy 4:6. He said, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near," referring to his death. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." David looked forward to the coming of the Christ. We look back to the coming of the Christ. Knowing who we have entrusted ourselves to when we are faced with the end can give us peace and reassurance. Have you entrusted yourself to Jesus Christ? Are you relying on his true and real goodness rather than a delusional belief in your own goodness? Do you believe his death on the cross some 2,000 years ago was a sacrifice to atone for your personal sins? Do you believe he was raised back to life on the third day and now lives forever, making intercession for you before God the Father? Are you now following Jesus as your master and your guide in this life? If so, then know that you have eternal life and you can have peace when facing your end in this life. David says in verse 2, "So be strong, act like a man." This is not some call to machismo, to step up and let them hear you roar, to beat your chest and claim your territory like a gorilla. The tone of David's tone is not, "Be a man, Solomon." It's not like that. It's more like, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm about to die, son. So it's time for you to be strong and courageous and act like a mature adult. It's time for you to put childish things away and embrace the call and the responsibilities that the Lord has placed upon you. You are now the king. You need to be the leader of God's people, Israel. That's what he's saying. The words David speaks to Solomon, they remind us of Paul's own admonition to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Paul said, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." His words also remind us of the words Paul spoke to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 6:10. He said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." I remember hearing Raul Ruiz say once years ago, following Jesus is not for wimps. We need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The words David speaks to Solomon here remind us of the words that the Lord himself spoke to Joshua when he took over leadership of the people of God from Moses and he was about to lead them into the land of Canaan. In Joshua 1:6, the Lord said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." David tells Solomon to be strong and courageous, to embrace the call and responsibilities the Lord has placed on him. Solomon is going to have to do some very difficult things. He will be faced with some horrifying situations. Some people will challenge him. Some will question him. Some will falsely accuse him. Some will plot his ruin. Some will try to kill him. He'll also have forces inside of himself that he will have to fight with. Doubts, fears, fatigue, discouragement, frustration, disappointment, anger. He'll be tempted to quit. He'll be tempted to turn away from the Lord. He'll be tempted to compromise his beliefs and values. He'll be tempted to abuse his power and position. He'll be tempted to be lazy and just phone it in. There are going to be lots of people depending on him. And are not all of these things struggles and temptations that we deal with too? The context is different. The particulars are different. But the struggles are similar, aren't they? We need to be strong and courageous and embrace the call and the responsibilities that the Lord has placed on us too. Following Jesus is not for wimps. He says, "And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses." The Lord gave instructions for Israel through Moses about how their kings were to conduct themselves. And part of that, it states the importance of the king following the word of the Lord. And I believe David probably has this passage of scripture in mind as he's speaking to Solomon that we find in Deuteronomy 17:18. It says, "When he, the king, takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. That's good advice for us too, isn't it? To read the word of the Lord all the days of our life. So we'll learn to revere the Lord and follow carefully all the words of the Lord and not consider ourselves better than others. The kings of other nations, they typically were thought to have sovereign powers over all within their reign. They were even worshipped by their subjects as gods. That was not how it worked in Israel. The king was not a god. He was not sovereign. He could not do whatever he wanted. He was just a man like everyone else, subject to the law of the Lord. He was expected to obey the law of the Lord and was responsible to see that those in his realm followed the law of the Lord. The Lord would hold him accountable for this. Verse 3 says, "Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." Solomon can't expect his life to be blessed by the Lord unless he walks in the ways of the Lord. And it's true for us too. We can't expect our life to be blessed by the Lord unless we walk in the ways of the Lord. When we don't follow the ways of the Lord, it carries consequences in the same way that driving on the wrong side of the street carries consequences. We might get away with it for a while, especially if we're good at dodging moving objects, but eventually we're going to crash. I watch people make choices that are against what the Word of God tells us to do, and then they're upset that things don't work out for them. Their bad, disobedient choices have resulted in painful consequences for them, and then they want to know why the Lord has not blessed them. What did they expect? We can't get mad at God and blame Him because we made a foolish choice and we're reaping the consequences of it. We did that to ourselves. He didn't do that to us. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." We will see blessing and peace follow us when we do what the Lord's word says. And this is not a promise that we're going to be rich materially and with a fat bank account and a new fancy car and that kind of thing. It's a promise of peace and joy, of wholeness, of a clear conscience, of the avoidance of unnecessary complications and troubles, of having strength and security through the storms of this life, things that we really can't put a price on. Verse 4, he says, "And that the Lord may keep his promise to me." David's talking, "If your descendants watch how they live and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." There were two elements to this promise that the Lord had made to David about one of his descendants always being on the throne of Israel. There was the unconditional promise that would ultimately be fulfilled through the Son of David, Jesus Christ, who is King forever. And there was the conditional promise that would only be realized as each succeeding king remained faithful to the Lord. Psalm 132:11, it says, "The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever." It's this conditional promise that David is making reference to here in 1 Kings 2 as he's speaking to Solomon. If Solomon will live faithfully before the Lord, keeping the Lord's word, then he will ensure that the promise of always having a descendant on the throne will continue. Solomon is not an island. He's not a lone individual, free to live out his life however he wants. He is a link in a chain. He's part of a legacy, and he has a responsibility to that legacy to ensure that it will continue into the future after him and be passed on to the next generation. And, you know, we too are part of a legacy. We are not individuals free to live out our life however we want. We have a responsibility to carry the legacy forward into the future and pass it on to the next generation, just like he did. In our time and culture, the idea of being part of a legacy has largely been lost. People live for their self, giving little thought to what came before them and what's going to come after them. They live in their own moment and they have no concern for the next generation. As followers of Jesus Christ, though, we are part of a legacy. We have had a legacy of faith in Jesus Christ handed to us, and we have a responsibility to those who come after us to hand that legacy of faith in Jesus Christ forward to them. In a similar way that Solomon is challenged to live a faithful life to the Lord to ensure that there will be a king from David's lineage on the throne after him, so we are called to live a faithful life to the Lord, being an example for those who come after us, ensuring that the good news about Jesus is shared forward, that we are continuing to make disciples of Jesus Christ, that the church of Jesus continues to grow and thrive into the future. The Lord will ensure that his will and work are fulfilled in this world in spite of us, rather than because of us. But we have a call and an opportunity to work with him and be used by him to carry the legacy of faith of Jesus Christ forward. Those of you who are Christians, think about your own life for a moment and the legacy of faith that has been handed to you. The people who shared the good news about Jesus with you, the people who have helped you grow in your Christian faith, the people who have stood beside you through your struggles, the people who have encouraged you and given you opportunities, we are responsible to pay that debt forward by doing the same for others. Yes? Think about the godly examples that have been lived out before you and me. People who have sacrificed, putting obedience to the Lord and his word before personal pleasure and gain. People who have worked to live a Christ-honoring life. People who have lived a self-controlled, generous, gracious life, exemplifying the character of Christ before us. We're responsible to pay that debt forward by seeking to live the same kind of life ourselves. We need to see ourselves as part of something bigger and more important than me, because we are part of something bigger and more important than me. This is the idea that David is trying to get Solomon to see and take hold of here, is that you are responsible for future generations by how you live your life, because you're part of a legacy. You are one link in a chain that stretches back and it stretches forward. And we too are part of a legacy of faith that stretches back and stretches forward. Well, in verses 5 through 9, after admonishing Solomon to faithfully follow the Lord, David gives Solomon instructions about a handful of people Solomon needs to deal with in order to secure the throne. This is a fallen world we live in. It's occupied by sinful people, ourselves included, obviously, in that. But some of these people have dark and evil intentions. And that sometimes requires difficult choices and actions to be taken to protect the innocent and the vulnerable. Now, we're not going to talk about the content of these verses today. I want to skip to the next verses so that we can close David's story today. So we're going to skip forward to verse 10, where it says, "Then David rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established." And so ends the life of one of the greatest people who have ever lived. David, in spite of his faults and his foibles, and he had his share, he remained a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord deeply, and he sought to serve him with his life. You see, in the end, a person is not measured by their successes and failures in this life, their accomplishments, the size of their bank account, the number of shoes in their closet, whether their death is announced on Times Square's electronic bulletin board or not. Do we know the Lord? Is Jesus our King? Have we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior and committed ourselves to following Him? This is the legacy that we want to be part of. Amen? The rest of 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 13 through 46, it tells the story of how Solomon carried out the instructions that his father David gave him to secure the throne and protect it from people who shouldn't have it. Again, we're not going to look at that today. In closing this morning, Solomon and the other kings who will come after him, they will all fall short of walking faithfully before God with their heart and soul. We fall short too. We seek to do it, but we don't do it perfectly. But God will be faithful to keep his promise. He has provided a perfect king for us who walked faithfully before God with all his heart and soul. That perfect king is Jesus Christ, God's own son, who has become king forever. And it is he that we trust in now and forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for our perfect King, Jesus, who perfectly fulfilled all of the requirements of your good law, lived his life here as an example that we can all follow, we can admire, we can take hold of, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for living and dying and coming back to life again for us so that we can be the children of God. I ask that you would encourage your people this morning. Strengthen them, Lord. I pray for those here this morning that maybe have never taken hold of your son Jesus before, that today is the day that they would do that and they would become a part of this legacy of faith, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that challenge that you've given us today, that we would live before others as a follower of Jesus and one that can be followed, and that we would hand that legacy forward to others, Lord. Make these things so. In Jesus' name, amen.